All right, Pax, I will open the waiting room and then whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Good morning, friends. This is the day that God is making. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that God is calling us again into God's community, into God's vision for life and justice. And we are all a part of that, and we belong to God and to one another and to creation. So let us remember that as we gather this morning. Welcome to Tabernacle United Church. My name is Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I'm glad to be worshiping with you this morning and to welcome you to this space, the sacred space. Even though we are scattered, we are gathered here online together and can connect with each other in this special way. So I'm glad to invite you and to welcome you to worship this morning. I want to give a special welcome to those who may be visiting with us for the first time. If this is your first time, we're really glad you're here. And we want to invite you, if you would, to take a moment, perhaps at the end of the service, to fill out our visitor card. We have an electronic visitor card, which we will share in the chat. So you can just click on that and fill that out and let us know a little bit more about yourself. We would love to hear from you. You can also introduce yourself if you're visiting in the chat. Just let us know you're here and your name, and we'd love to welcome you in that way. I do want to give a special word of welcome to Peter Pedamonte, who is visiting with us this morning. I know many of you know Peter and know particularly of him in the work that we've been doing with Sanctuary, and us particularly over this past year as we hosted the Thompsons in our building. And Peter is visiting with us this morning and is going to share just a few words with us later in the service. But I'm so grateful for Peter, and he is the co-director of New Sanctuary Movement. He and Blanca and are doing some really wonderful work in our city for immigrant justice and immigrant rights. So we give thanks for Peter and for his witness and for him being with us this morning. I also want to give just a few announcements for us. Today, we have our Exploring Membership class, which will be at 11:45. This is our second session of three. So if you're interested in membership or just curious about it and want to learn a little bit more about our connection to our denominations and our history of TAB and all of these things, it's a great opportunity also to connect with people. So if you would like to join us, we are meeting today at 11:45. Very soon after our worship service ends. Also, I want to give mark your calendars. I know we've been talking about this and we're going to continue to talk about this, but next Sunday during the TAB EDU hour, we are starting our abolition curriculum. It's called Defund the Police. The abolition curriculum. It's put out by the Mennonite Church, and we are at TAB wanting to engage questions around policing and safety, looking at looks at the history of policing and is asking us to engage with what it means to engage the forces of state, what nonviolence means, and how to act to end policing and to end the police brutality. So we want to be a part of that, and we are gearing up for that. Our first session will be next Sunday. You can read a little bit more about that in our newsletter that's been coming out to get more information. We're going to be asking really important questions, primarily about what our faith has to say about this. It's really important to come at it from that perspective of what our faith has to say about engaging the forces of state. And so we're excited to start that and to be digging deeply into those questions. That will be starting next Sunday. Finally, I want to hand it over to Lucinda for our last couple announcements. So Lucinda, please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I have two announcements today. The first one is that June 15th, which is a Tuesday night, from about 5 o'clock until about 7 o'clock, we are going to be gathering at Clark Park, particularly the piece of Clark Park that is at 43rd and Baltimore. There's a circle of some gravel with chairs, which has some grass nearby. So some folks might want to sit in the grass and some folks might want to sit on chairs and tables. And we're going to have a gathering, a picnic. It's dinner time. So you might want to bring food and eat, bring your own food and eat with others. If you don't feel comfortable, then just come and visit with folks. We are asking everyone to wear masks. There will be children there. And there might be folks who don't feel comfortable going without a mask. So we ask everyone to wear masks, obviously not when you're eating or drinking, but other times when you're moving around and socializing. So if you have questions or you want to ask any questions or do anything special at that event, I'll put my email in the chat. You can email or text me. So that is June 15th. Which is a Tuesday from 5 to 7 at Clark Park. So please come. You don't have to come at 5 o'clock. You don't have to stay the whole time. Come when you can and enjoy some time together. The second announcement is a little farther in the future, but I need some help now. There is not going to be a Pride parade this June, as there usually is through downtown Philadelphia. Usually we walk and roll and stroll through the Pride Parade and then celebrate with the festival at Penn's Landing. This year, they are not doing that in June, but that there is going to be a smaller festival in September. So please look for an email from me in TAB News about whether you might be interested in staffing the booth during that festivity. It is Labor Day weekend. It's September 4th. So I don't want to sign up if we don't have enough people who feel comfortable staffing the booth. who might want to do it. So please let me know that I know if we can sign up as a church or not. And I'll put more information about what do we do at the booth and all that in the email. But please be on the lookout for an email from me. If you are in this Zoom and you are not on Tab News, but you're very interested in finding out more about what is this, what do we do at Pride? Again, my email and phone number will be in the chat, and you can give me a text message or phone or email if you are interested in getting more information. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lucinda. And now let us continue in our worship and call ourselves to worship.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. Donald, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, I'm Donald, and my pronouns are he, him.
Please join us in the call to worship. We often look to the rulers of this world for leadership, wisdom, and strength.
We look to families and friends for love, compassion, and hope.
When rulers betray, when families and friends disappoint, God offers another look.
God will guide us. God's Spirit will sustain us.
Christ will welcome us home.
Come, we are all God's family now.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, we'll start with a new song, a song that Pastor Katie sent to me from the Porter's Gate worship series, which is called We Will Make No Peace with Oppression. And part of what I really like about this song is that it gets specific in the verses about what making no peace with oppression looks like. So I invite you to sing this song, and I think you'll learn it quickly if you aren't already familiar. Make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. We will make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. We will stand against violence of every form. We will march in the streets, no justice, no peace. Arm in arm with our neighbor till we all stand free. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, your strength. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. We will make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. We will make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. We won't turn away from the pain of our loved ones, cries of our young ones, grieving of our elders. We won't turn away from destructive politicians. We'll overthrow the prisons, corruption in our systems. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. Whoa, Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. Sing it again. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you.
Holy God, we come this day weary of all the turmoil and dissonance in our world. We are tired of politics and division that fill our hearts and make us angry and against the other. We pray that you will open our hearts and make us ready to receive your faithful guidance and support. Lead us as we go forth in the world as your people, sharing your compassion and love. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Patient God, you know how we are. We let the frustrations and worries of our lives overcome us. Our hearts seem to buckle under the weight of anger and confusion. And as we turn away from you, and we turn away from you, sure that you can do nothing to make our lives better. Please forgive us. Help us to learn that you are actively involved in our lives, not as a puppet master, but as a creative and loving companion, seeking healing and hope for us and for the world. We pray that you will make us into disciples of your peace and compassion. Amen. Let go of your fears and doubts. God pours God's love on you, in you, and through you to others. Praise be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
I invite you to join me for the Song of Praise, which is total praise based on Psalm 121 by amazing songwriter Richard Smallwood. You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. I lift my hands in total praise to you. Let's sing together.
Let us take a moment. We can go to gallery view and you will be able to unmute, and let's have some time of holy chaos as we greet one another with signs of Christ's peace. May the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
Yeah. Good morning.
Peace. Peace.
Good morning.
Peace.
Peace be with you.
Peace.
Peace be with everyone.
Peace, everyone.
Hello everybody.
Peace, everybody.
Sarah.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
With you.
Peace to you, Owen.
Good morning. Morning, Katie.
Morning, Erica.
Hi, Rose.
Nice to meet
you. Hi, Deirdre.
Good to see everyone. Hi, Scott. Hi, Lee.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Hi, Jenna.
Hey, Peter Pedamonte. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Jenna.
Peter, I was looking for it. I couldn't find you. And there you are, right below me.
Hi, Heather and Oscar.
Hi, Oscar.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Charlene. Hi, Vic.
I'm so
happy
to see you.
Please. Susan Tegan, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Alicia. Good morning.
Hi,
Aurora. Hi.
Good morning, Pix.
Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Hi. 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 Hi Ariana, and all those who don't have your cameras on. Please be with you.
Yes. And hello, Oscar.
Hi, Lynn and Lynn.
Hello.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Dick and Carly.
Hello.
Hello.
Oscar.
Yeah.
Our first reading this morning is 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. We will continue this story after children's time today. This is part one. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voices of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice only. You shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service where we invite the children and anyone else who would like to join to come closer for the children's time. And if you're one of the folks who would like to be part of a smaller circle, you can go down to your Zoom reactions button in the bottom right-hand corner and click raise hand. Let's sing to invite those folks forward.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Hi, everybody. Glad to see you. My name is Donald, and my pronouns are he and him. And it's great to see so many people here today. I wanted to say that the story from the Bible that Elizabeth just read for us is from the book in the Bible called Samuel. And I think this story might be called Follow the Leader. So who here has played Follow the Leader? Raise your hand if you have. Do I see children raising hands or just grown-ups? Okay, well, you probably would, maybe if you're older, you will play Follow the Leader, get a little bit older if you haven't played it yet. But basically someone is the leader and everybody has to do exactly what the leader says. And you march around and do silly things. And I guess the leader gets to see whether you're gonna follow him or her. But it's a game that's a lot of fun, right? It's especially fun if you are the leader. But one thing is important. It's important that the leader does fun things and good things. What if the leader in the game said, "Now, everybody pay attention to me. See the other children in that sandbox over there? Let's go over there and take all their toys. And let's keep them for ourselves." That would not be good, would it? Well, young children, I'd like you to come a little bit closer because I have a secret for you. Come in closer so you can hear my secret. The secret is grown-ups really like to play follow the leader. And sometimes they follow a leader that says, "Let's go to those people over there in that other sandbox and let's take all their toys and keep them for ourselves." And that's not good, is it? So what's really important is when you play or when grown-ups play follow the leader, that you pick a good leader. And you have the right to pick a good leader. And you can choose to pick a good leader. But sometimes that's a hard thing to do. But I want to tell you that the best leader to follow is Jesus. Jesus has promised he will always show you the best thing to do and will always take care of you and will always be a good leader. So I'm going to suggest that you take Jesus as your leader now and even when you play follow the leader as a grown-up, which for some reason we grown-ups all really, 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 really like to do. And that surprises me, but we really do. So let us pray. Jesus, always be with us and lead us to do the best things for our family, for our friends, for ourselves, and for the world. Amen.
Amen. We are going to continue now the story from 1 Samuel 8. We're going to keep going with this story. So the people have just demanded that they want a king. And Samuel goes to God in prayer. And then this is what we hear. So God says, "Comply with the people's request, but give them clear warnings, telling them how the king will rule over them." Then Samuel explained everything the Lord had said to the people who were asking for a king. And he said, "This is how the king will rule over you. He will take your sons and will use them for his chariots and his cavalry and as runners for his chariot. He will use them as his commanders of troops of 1,000 and troops of 50, or to do his plowing and his harvesting, or to make his weapons or parts for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, or bakers. He will take your best fields, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will give 1/10 of your grain and your vineyards to his officials and servants. He will take your male and female slaves, along with the best of your cattle and donkeys, and make them do his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and then you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out because of the king you chose for yourselves. But on that day, the Lord won't answer you." But the people refused to listen to Samuel and said, "No, there must be a king over us so we can be like the other nations. Our king will judge us and lead us and fight our battles." Samuel listened to everything the people said and repeated it directly to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Comply with their request. Give them a king." Samuel then told the Israelite people, "Go back, each of you, to your own hometown." This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. And now, if you would join me in prayer. God, we thank you for this story. It's troubling. God, we pray that your spirit would stir in us and stir in this time, that we would hear from you and that we would be challenged and moved ever closer to our true belonging, which is with you and close to you. I pray, God, that you would speak through me, and I pray that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. First Samuel 8 is a very important chapter in the history of Israel. It marks a turning point for Israel as Israel becomes a nation and then becomes a monarchy. First and Second Samuel are actually, is just the beginning, and we will go, if you keep reading, it takes us through the reign of the first two kings, David and Saul. And so this chapter in 1 Samuel 8 marks the very beginning of that movement to the monarchy. We heard Elizabeth read early on about how Samuel's sons had been ruling as judges over Israel. And just like the sons of Eli, the priest, before Samuel, these sons were perverting justice, were taking bribes. They had fallen off and were greedy and doing all things that were not good toward the people. And so the leadership is corrupt, injustice is rampant, and the people are desperate for a change. So out of that desperation, the elders of Israel come to Samuel, and they demand a move to a monarchy. They demand to have a king to govern us, they said, just like the other nations do. Samuel is not pleased with this request. And yet Samuel knows what to do. He is a listener of God. He is a servant of God. And so immediately he goes and takes it to the Lord in prayer. He goes to God and prays. And the God's words to Samuel are not what we might expect. And they are essentially threefold. First of all, the Lord tells Samuel, don't take this personally. The people are not rejecting you, Samuel. They are actually rejecting me. In demanding a king, they are rejecting me as the center of their lives. They're rejecting the Lord, their God, who brought them out of Egypt as the center of their lives. They do not want to order their lives in the odd and demanding ways of Torah any longer. They're rejecting me. Don't take it personally, Samuel. It's not about you. The second thing God says to Samuel is, this is nothing new. Ever since the time they left Egypt, my people have been forsaking my ways. And so God says, this is just a part of a long history of my people choosing security at the price of freedom, choosing comfort and the sense of safety, even if it's just an illusion of safety, choosing that at the cost of justice. It's just a part of this long history. It's nothing new. And then the third thing that God says is sobering. God says, comply with their request. If they want a king, give it to them. However, and this is an important however, you shall solemnly warn them about the ways of the king. And that then, with those words, Samuel launches into this long speech. He gets into this prophetic role where now he launches into this warning speech. This is what you will get if you choose a king to rule over you. And notice if you read and hear, there's a governing verb that gets repeated. And that verb is to take. The king will take. He will take and he will take. He will take your sons for military purposes. He will take your daughters for labor for the elite and luxurious courts. He will take your fields, your vineyards and orchards, a land monopoly, not unlike our current forms of agribusiness or contemporary forms of agribusiness. He will impose a harsh tax on you that will reduce people to a life of debt and servitude. He will take and take and take until you yourselves are owned. Samuel's harsh words end with this dreaded phrase, triggering memories, painful memories for the Israelites. And he says, you shall be his slaves. It may not be Pharaoh of Egypt this time, but it will be Pharaoh by another name. Same structure, same values, same system. But the people are living in a time of deep chaos. They are afraid. Their fear is a powerful driver of decision-making, and they are hungry for security. And so their desperation, out of their desperation, fear and hunger for security, that wins over, and they say, no, give us a king. We want a king. And this story, this ambivalent story, is what marks the beginning of the monarchy in Israel. Notice there is no joyful celebration. There are no 4th of July fireworks. Hey, hey, we have a new king. Woohoo. Nothing like that is happening. It's a sad, sobering story. It's odd. That is the beginning of the monarchy in Israel. And Samuel is grieving, and even God seems to be grieving. God doesn't resist or rage or try to persuade people to change their minds. The facts have been laid bare. And God, being a loving God, isn't going to force people to do anything. God allows people to choose. And so God allows the people to choose. And it's a sad story. It's a story that doesn't try to resolve anything for us. And now we have to figure out, how do we interpret this story? How do we interpret this story? You know, the Bible is full of stories that are not meant to be interpreted as prescriptive or even instructive, as much as they are meant to be held up like a mirror to us, where we can look at the struggle there and find in it our own struggle. And as Paul says, we work out our salvation. We work out our liberation from there with fear and trembling. And I think this is a story that is like a mirror to us. Where do we find our struggle in this story? And one of the real struggles I think we face as people is the same that the Israelites faced. And we need to be careful not to be too judgmental of the Israelites, because they're not mean people openly trying to defy God. They're people just like us who are encountering the fragility and chaos of life and are disgusted by the injustices they see around them and are longing for change. And I think we need to be careful not to be too judgmental of their choice. And there is an urgency here for answers. And I think that urgency drove them to seek those answers through the empire and what the empire has to offer. And that really resonates with me. It really resonates with me. Our empire of America today has plenty of answers to our anxieties. Plenty of answers to our anxieties. Empire has told you what you should do when you feel out of control. And when you're afraid and when you're thirsty for security, the answers are buy more, get more, take more money, get on top, try to get what's mine, get more guns. Thank the heavens we have a strong military and all our tax dollars are going to the military. Build up your military, that's security. Those are the answers that America has to offer you. Buy more, secure yourself. Protect yourself. The story is 3,000 years old, but we have a Pharaoh in Egypt by another name today. We live in an economy that privileges the rich at the expense of the poor, an economy that makes humans and land into commodities, and it's difficult to extract ourselves from it. We can't. We're in it. We're tangled up in it, caught up in this kingship model, longing to get out of it, to be faithful to the God of liberation, to the God we know in Jesus Christ, but realizing that most days we are somewhere in between God and Egypt, trying to figure out, what do we do? How do we live? How do we be faithful? I was thinking about how, you know, there was this collective sigh of relief when we had a new person in the White House. And I am relieved. I'm still breathing a sigh of relief. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that change. And I am more optimistic about certain things changing under the Biden administration. And we need to pray and continue to push the administration to do good. But we need to be critical too and remember that Joe Biden is not our savior. Will we trust in Joe Biden or the abiding, agitating presence of God? Several Sundays ago, Pax was leading us in the song, Come Abide With Me and I Will Abide With You. And Oscar, my almost four-year-old, turned to me and said, Joe Biden? So he thought we were singing about Joe Biden, who he recently has learned his name. So abide in me, Joe Biden. And I said, no, we're not singing about Joe Biden. We're singing abide in me, like abide in God, like stay close to God, stay close to Jesus, that kind of thing. I don't know if he understood what I was trying to explain. I probably tried to explain it too much and then he was off playing with his trucks. But anyway, Joe Biden, abide with God. And I thought later, it is easy to confuse, isn't it? Our allegiances. It's easy to confuse our allegiances. It's easy to confuse Biden with abiding in God, just like it's easy to confuse our allegiances to the empire versus God. It's tangled up, it's mixed up. And often we're somewhere just trying to get through, trying to figure this out, somewhere between God and Egypt, trying to figure out what faithfulness looks like. One of the things that the Hebrew Bible does that is unlike any other historiographic tradition, and that is that it is intensely critical of its own state. That is really important to note. Its own history, it's incredibly critical of its own history. This is, again, not a 4th of July fireworks celebratory time beginning the monarchy, as we've noted. And people who benefit from our current empirical arrangements don't tend to want to be critical of the system, right? And we can learn, I think, from the Hebrew Bible in this regard. We can watch for the times when our faith communities have become closed to critique. We can watch for signs of the empire creeping into our lives and owning us, making people and land into commodities. We can be critical, just like the Hebrew people were critical of their history and of the sorrow and loss that happened in their past. This may seem like a minor example, but it's symbolic to me. I've seen churches, and yes, from time to time, even our own church community at TAB, use language and then behave in a way that reduces people to pledge units. Have you heard this term, pledge units? I've heard people say, how do we get pledging units into our church? Units? Is that who we are? Pledge units? Talk about being taken by the kingship system of our own day, where we reduce people to units. I see churches act in a way where motivation for evangelism is in the worst cases based on greed, or simply often just evangelism for the sake of keeping the institution alive. And it may have nothing to do with the liberatory gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not that we're bad people, but when life feels chaotic, when we're most afraid, when we're afraid of loss, It's easy to grab onto the low-hanging fruit. It might taste good, but it's actually rotting. And in the end, is not good for us. But it's easy to go for what's the low-hanging fruit and go to the simple answers. I think about the curriculum, right, that we're about to start at TAB next week. It's called Defund the Police and Abolition Curriculum. It's about policing and safety, learning about the history of policing in this country and who is and who may actually not be safe under our policing system. And we'll be asked to look at policing in our system, but also policing in our church and our faith communities. What are those behaviors look like? We'll be asked to look at that. And that curriculum is designed to ask, what does our faith in the liberatory gospel of Jesus Christ have to do and have to say about policing and safety? And I know we won't have easy answers, but it's critical that we be critical of our history and take time to ask who is actually most harmed by our own modern kingship system. Who has been made to suffer most under our modern day pharaohs? It is our duty and responsibility to look at the brutal facts in order to actually forge any new future with God. And Samuel was trying to get the people to look at the brutal facts and then ask themselves, is this really what you want again? Is this really what you want? Or are there other possibilities with God? Are there other ways to take care of each other? Are there other leadership models that are closer to God's heart? And I know it's scary to travel down a road that we've never been on before. God, do I know that is true in every aspect of my life? Traveling down roads we have never been on before. Do we need to be brave and have courage as people of faith? Yes, because life with God is about traveling down roads that we have not been on before. The Spirit of the living God is a spirit that troubles us and is always nudging us and pulling us out of the comforts of empire, whatever those comforts may be for you, toward the kingdom of justice and peace. And so it is important that just like the Hebrews could do, we also willingly and with humility, look at some of the brutal facts about ourselves too, and our history, and look for the ways that we have given ourselves over to empire, sometimes without even knowing we have. Not so that we can hate on ourselves, no, but so we can imagine alternative possibilities with God. It's interesting to me that often when we are in these moments where we are really aware of our fragility, where there's a lot of chaos in life, where we are disgusted with the injustices around us, and we are hungry and vulnerable and ready for change, it is often in those places where the transformative work of God can really, really take place. And the saddest thing in this story to me is that moment right after the harsh words from Samuel, it's that little moment there when the people say, no, we want a king. It's the moment in between, that pause, the little pause after the critique of kingship and their decision for kingship, that little pause that could have been an opportunity for transformation, but they didn't allow themselves to linger with the cost of their decision. They didn't linger there in their vulnerability and consider what possibilities could still await them if only they could trust Yahweh again. They could have been carried on the wings of their ancestors' songs. They could have been carried on the promise of the Exodus dream, but they didn't. They said, no, we want a king. That pause, that's sad. But I think that's where we come in. That's where our that's where the instruction, I think, comes in. If we can linger there, I think we need to watch out in our lives for those pauses, those moments for ourselves, those opportunities for transformation, because they're all over the place. But we need to linger in the vulnerability. We need to linger in the sadness of our failures and the painful realities around us. And then we do what Samuel did. We take it to God in prayer. We take that vulnerability and we don't go for the low-hanging fruit. We go to God in prayer. We seek God's ways. We take the time to ask, to whom do we belong? Are we all for the taking? Are we owned by the king or the empire who takes, 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 takes? Or do we belong to God? Do we go with a Biden or do we go with abiding with God? Who are we? To whom do we belong? What possibilities are there yet ahead that may be difficult but to imagine, but may yet be possible with the Lord, who is with us and never gives up on us, always nudging and pulling us? To whom do we belong? Amen. Amen. Amen.
We have opportunities for transformation at every moment. And one of these is how we choose to use our financial resources. We remember that we belong to God. And so we commit our financial resources to doing God's work. The morning offering will now be taken. To give electronically, you can text any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/contribute. And if you are contributing online, please be sure to select the appropriate fund or include a tag in your text. We also can take donation by check to the church. Thank you.
Bless the Lord.
the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
God, accept these gifts and bless them. May we use them to do your work as you intend. Amen.
Now we're going to move into our time of prayer. But before we begin our general sharing of joys and concerns and testimonies, I'm going to turn the virtual mic over to Peter, who's going to share just a few words with us. So, Peter Pettamonte, we're so glad you're here and your family as well, and would love to hear a few words from you.
Thanks, Pastor Katie. Hi, everyone. I am Peter Pettamonte. My pronouns are he, him, his, and I'm the co-director of New Sanctuary Movement and was the organizer for the Thompson's campaign. And I'm so grateful to be here with you today and just want to spend a minute just to mark the action of Sanctuary and that ministry of Sanctuary and that witness of Sanctuary. And as the Thompsons move out and settle into their new home in West Philly. And I know, right, they're still waiting for, as many of you know, they're still waiting for the green cards, still need some support as they're waiting for those work permits so that they can work. But it's important to mark this moment and express gratitude for all this community has done and celebrate what we have done together. Tabernacle, Juanita and Clive, and New Sanctuary. You know, last month when we helped them move into their new home, I remember just feeling so much joy in that day. And I started remembering the journey that we had been on. I remember calling up Pastor Katie and saying that Juanita and Clive were interested in wanting to explore moving to Tabernacle. And her saying, okay, let's talk. I remember sitting in the church council meeting and talking about what sanctuary would look like, talking about the challenges, the logistics, the questions, the doubts. And mixed in with that too was always this question around the call to discipleship. And I remember the bathroom and the pandemic and still seeing this community push through to yes. And I was really grateful to watch that thorough and collective process that you all had, from methodical research and conversations to education sessions to the deep labyrinth of figuring out insurance. And despite all the reasons to say no, as Pastor Katie talked about in their sermon around the call to empire, always those reasons that they're to cling to safer options or to say someone else can do it, you all said yes. And I want to celebrate that today, celebrating that stepping into the unknown, the stepping toward community and God, and stepping toward a more liberated world. And so we do have a little award or certificate for you all. Since we're still virtual, when we can drop it off at the church, we will. We call it Parting the Waters Award to celebrate your witness. Although after that sermon, I kind of feel like I want to call it Choosing God of Liberation over Kingship Award. We call it Parting the Waters Award because years ago, I remember listening to Rabbi Linda Holtzman give a talk at a rally where she talked about when the Israelites reached the Red Sea and the seas before them, Pharaoh's armies behind them. And Rabbi Linda talked about, you know, Moses holding up his staff and nothing happens, holding up his staff and the water doesn't do anything. And it wasn't until someone stepped into the water that it parted. And what I loved about it, and I've held it with me for so many years, is that it's the collective action that moves us toward liberation. And we still have work to do until all are free. But I think it is the victory of the Thompsons is something we can remember to give us faith and hope and confidence as we fight for all. And I think it makes me think of the collective work of Tabernacle to see all the people who came together to make this happen, from the campaign, people worked on the campaign, to fundraising, to logistics, hospitality, to all the simple visits and gestures and text messages that are so important to make sanctuary work. And it's what gives me hope. It's what gives me hope as we turn now to fight for all 11 million to have status. It's what gives me hope as we think about the new world we're building together, where all are free and dignified in love. So for me, from everyone at New Sanctuary, I am really, really so grateful for all your work and so grateful to be in this with you and look forward to keep pushing for that liberated world. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Peter, for those powerful words and for the gratitude. And we're so grateful for your accompaniment and participation in terms of that collective being a part of you, being a part of NSM and all of the other witnesses and congregations and folks who were helping us and leading us. So we are really, really grateful. Thank you so much for sharing and for celebrating us and that work. It's important to celebrate. Amen. So we are going to continue now and transition a little bit in terms of just opening up the space for more Thanksgiving or for more joys or if you have concerns or prayers, struggles that you would like to lift up before God and our community that we want to share with you and hold with you. So this is the time to do that. You can just put your request or your joy in the chat, and then in just a moment, Elizabeth will read them out loud so that we can all hear. And we encourage you, as you hear the prayers to come in, to be a part of those prayers by saying, as Elizabeth says, Lord, in your mercy, we respond, hear our prayer, so that we are all carrying and lifting up these prayers together. So let's do that now.
From Jim, prayers of thanks for small improvements. My brother Paul was able to take off the air cast on his right foot, and he was able to walk from his room to PT and back unaided. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana, Gina, and Antonio, prayers of gratitude for a safe trip during which we got to see our beloved East Coast kin, including Tab family. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Deirdre, prayers of thanksgiving that my friend Rick's tumor count is down and he has qualified for a liver transplant. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Carly, this Saturday I am taking the law school admissions test. Prayers for a good test day. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lucinda, prayers for my eighth graders who are transitioning to high school. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Alicia, prayers for my dear friend Darla. Her mother is recovering from a stroke, and Darla is in the process of moving from Pennsylvania to Hawaii to care for her. Prayers from her mother's health and Darla's peace and clarity during this time. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jennifer, Rose, and Levi, prayers of thanksgiving for Levi as we celebrate Levi's sixth birthday. Thanksgiving for Levi's witness and how Levi continues to teach us something new every day. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana, prayers for Kim Stevens and her family. Kim's husband was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer and recently had surgery. He is recovering at home. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Erica, pray for a friend of ours who just lost his wife to cancer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Laura, wishing Levi a happy sixth birthday yesterday, wishing you another year full of love, laughter, charity, and hope. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gwyneth, prayers of gratitude for unexpected blessings of friendship and actions. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Donald, prayers of thanksgiving for our son, John, and his girlfriend, Ashley, for a safe move to Michigan and thanksgiving that they really like their new abode. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Chris, for everyone living under oppressive and violent governments, especially today, the people of Minneapolis, where another man was killed by police, and where the people took back George Floyd Square after the city tried to dismantle it. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana, in the spirit of God calling us to a place we have never been, we have accepted an offer on our house and plan to move to the Twin Cities near my seminary. Pray as we find a place to land, and this is the right move for our family. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thanks to all who have shared in this way. And I would like to add just here in closing another Thanksgiving that we're celebrating today. And that is for the ministry of our Sunday school teachers, for Natalie Sarin and for Lisa Jacobs, who have been so beautifully meeting with our kids at 9:30 every Sunday to do a story from the Bible and activities and learn and play together. Today is the last Sunday that we're going to be doing Sunday School with Natalie. Lisa's going to continue throughout the summer months to meet with the kids in the morning, but it'll be more just kind of a playtime. We won't have an official Sunday School time. But we wanted to mark today in gratitude and thanks, particularly for Natalie and also for Lisa for all they do with our kids, for their loving work over this past year and adapting in this time of pandemic to connect with our kids. It's been such a meaningful and gracious time. So thank you, Natalie. I know you're not here today, but we do want to give thanks for you. And as we did this morning in your Sunday School time, and thank you to Natalie and Lisa for all their good work. So God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So now as we sing together, let us take all that we've shared, the joys as well as the struggles and prayers that have been lifted up and the ones that remain unspoken but on our hearts. Let us lift all of these up to God as we sing together.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, children, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, children, let's go down, down to the river to pray. Oh, children, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, children, let's go down, down to the river to pray.
And now we are going to come to the Lord's table. I forgot to make the announcement or reminder this morning that it is Communion Sunday. So if you'd like to take a moment now to gather any elements you have in your house, it can be water, it can be juice, anything to eat and drink that can be symbolic for you of this sacrament. So please take a moment to do that, and we'll sing together. So that's also a good moment for you to get the things that you need while we're singing. But as we come to God's table and remember that this is a table of grace and that it is God's table, let us remember also what we have been talking about today, that it is a table of belonging, and we are all welcome at the table of God. There are no boundaries to God's love or to this feast. And so you can come just as you are with all of your struggles, your doubts, your fears, your faith, everything. And God embraces us here. So let us come to the table and let's sing together as we come.
Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace,
the table of peace.
Come to the table of peace. Come to the table of peace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of peace.
And if you would now join with me as we pray over the elements, you can rest your hands lightly on the elements if you would like, and let us pray together. We give thanks to you, Holy God, for you have invited us to gather at this table to taste the feast, the same abundant promises offered to our ancestors in faith. Time and time again, you've offered your grace, even as we have stepped away, and you continue to call us to be your people. You've never left us, and we praise you, God, for second, third, and fourth chances. You are always faithful. So we give you thanks, O God, for this time of celebration, for the one that this meal remembers, for the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we give thanks for your holy creation, for the ways that your earth, land, water, trees, birds teach us about what it means to love and walk in your way. We thank you for all the human witnesses who have gone before us, who have shown us what it looks like to be faithful and to be your people. Let us step into the stream of these witnesses and be shaped by them. So now, God of all of us, we as we eat and drink, make us one with the saints and with our siblings in faith around the world, and transform us into the likeness of Christ. When Jesus was with his followers and disciples on that night, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He said, "This is the bread of liberation. This is the bread that we celebrate at Passover. This is my body. It is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup, and as he poured it out, he said, "This is my blood. It is the blood of the new covenant, the cup of forgiveness poured out for you. Whenever you drink this, remember me." And so now, in your homes, wherever you are, let us receive the body of Christ, the bread of life broken for us. Let us eat together. And let us now receive the blood of Christ, the cup of forgiveness poured out for you. Let us drink together. God, you share our joys and our crushing sorrows. You hear the cries of the afflicted, and you fill the hungry, and you set free the oppressed. We pray for the end to all injustice. Inspire us with the all-embracing love of God, and challenge us with the sacrificial giving of Jesus. Empower us with the transforming love of the Spirit, that we and all God's people may live and be free. And now let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, "Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I bind my heart this tide to the Galilean side, to the wounds of Calvary, to the Christ who died for me. I bind my soul this day to the neighbor far away, and the strength to peace, to make strife and envy cease. God, knit thou sure the cord of my thraldom to my Lord. Amen.
Friends, as we go forth into this week, remember that you are not alone and that the struggle that the Israelites faced is not easy. And we are in that too. We are struggling too and are always seeking and longing to stay close to God and to God's heart. So remember that God knows that and that God is with us and pulling us into God's life and will over and over again. So as you go, remember that you belong to God and that you belong to one another and to creation. So go in peace to serve God and one another. Amen. Amen. Amen.